Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Okay, kid, get out there and remember, you're a tiger, kid. A tiger! That's the champ. Now he's running. How you feeling, kid? Good, good. That's using your head. Strategy. You're a genius, kid. A real professor. You're a bum. You're an animal, kid. A bum. Don't worry, kid. It'll heal.
No Super Punch-Out. Only for Super NES. Get smart or get knocked stupid.
Only 12 guys to go.
You're the king, I tell you. The king.
Woof. You're the king.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Play Retro, episode 20. I'm Scott Johnson, your host, and Glass Joe is a real hoe.
No, nice. And hello, I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and these body blows aren't working. Uppercut. Uppercut, I say.
Yeah.
Uppercut.
Yeah.
And I'm down again.
Oh,
I'm down again.
That's too bad. You faced the other way and went flat on your face and faced the turnstile on the corner.
Yeah, usually it ended like this. Here comes Mike Tyson. One punch. I'm down. And it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that about? Why does that happen to you? Why are you bad at this video game?
Why am I bad? Everybody's bad when they first play against Mike.
That's true. Mike was pretty tough. Until he wasn't, and they pulled him out of the game and he wasn't part of it anymore. That's a story for later on today. So that's a
He got the last laugh, but go ahead. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Did he get the last laugh? I feel like we're still laughing at him. I feel like he's getting laughed at now, like right now.
We'll see. We'll see how cannabis farm and his idea for a new Punch-Out game goes. We'll see if he gets the last laugh or not.
Remind me, did he bite the ear off of Holyfield before he was dropped from the game or after he was dropped from the game?
I think after, because I think he was look, I'm not gonna cast aspersions, but he was having a really tough time when him and Robin Givens were married, 21 Jump Street.
Yep.
And then things went off the rails pretty heavy.
You mean head of the class, not 21 Jump Street, I think.
She was 21 Jump Street now.
Was she?
Robin Givens was,
I don't think Robin Givens is on 21 Jump Street.
I'm pretty sure she was.
Hold on. Robin Givens. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure she was.
She's known for, hold on to your butts. Here we go. She was known for.
I'll take my trophy now.
Boy, she's in tons of stuff here.
She was in everything for a minute.
Guiding Light, head of the class.
Head of the class. But we know that.
Also, so is 21 Jump Street. I don't see it.
I don't see it.
You're mixing her up with somebody else.
Who are you
going
to trust? Who are you going to trust? My old memory or the internet?
The internet.
Whatever.
I'm going with the internet.
Holly Robinson was on 21 Jump Street. She was married to Rodney Pete. That's right.
Yeah, look at you, dude. You mixed it all up.
I didn't know that. Cole Cash fixed it for me. Thank you, Cole Cash.
Good thing this isn't about retro television shows, or we would have lost already.
Actually, if I had studied as hard with 21 Jump Street and head of the class as I did for this episode of Punch Out, I would have got it. I would have nailed it.
Good point. Good point. I believe you would have. I truly do.
Yeah. Last time I watched 21 Jump Street, the series was when did it last air? Season one.
21 Jump Street would have been 87 to start, and then
There you go.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and no refresher since then. So
Go. Now we're watching old man Depp in his depositions.
His deposition. Yeah. Did you see that crazy guy that the Amber Heard? I'm not taking sides. I don't care.
I don't care. I think the way people have gotten so invested in this thing is really, really weird and creepy.
Yeah, I don't have the energy. I don't like it. But I will say this. Her expert witness that she brought on, that guy was insane. Did you see that guy?
That guy was hilarious. What was his deal?
Lip smacker?
He was. I missed it.
I think he was like, was he given a testimony towards Johnny Depp's, abilities to be normal? I don't know. Was the psychologist? I don't know. All I know is this guy is all over the place. He's crazy looking.
Okay. I missed that.
Yeah.
The only thing I've heard about is him, or at one point she talked about her dog poop. Stepping on a bean. She made a funny face. That's all I know about.
Oh, I thought you heard the poop the bed.
No,
well, we're getting all kinds of, it was a perfect episode for this with Punch Out with all the rumors and the lawsuits and everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you're going to look, perfect. If you want to, the Depp Heard trial, perfect fodder for going back and talking about the venerable Nintendo series Punch Out. So stick around.
Right. And how I forgot it was Holly Robinson and not, yeah.
It's okay. Robin People, Kittens. It's an easy thing to do. These are lovely ladies from a different era and we mixed them up and it's okay.
How many years ago was that now?
A million. 1 million. Howard Hessman was still head of the class when this was going on.
Yeah.
Howard Hessman has sadly passed. In fact, died last year or this year?
Yeah. This year.
Seems right. He hit about
one. Wow, you are right. We probably shouldn't do a retro TV show just yet.
No, not yet. We're not ready for it. But I will say this. I've been putting my feelers out trying to see if I could procure an Odin.
Oh, yes.
Turns out it's near impossible. Can't get them.
Right.
You got to be in line.
The Odin is that handheld fancy console that just came out this past year that got started on Indiegogo, right?
Yep. That's where the beginnings of it was. That's where you can only still order it, by the way. You can't do anything else. You got to go in there.
Ayn Odin, I believe. A-Y-N Odin, is that what it is?
Ayn is the brand, yeah. It's a Chinese dev team thing. Chinese. Deal. And it's really cool. Go look up the Odin if you haven't. It looks like kind of the ultra freaking retro device, portable device. And really neat in a lot of ways. But the longer it takes to get one, the more I think I should just wait for a Steam Deck, play Agreed. Steam games as well as a bunch of retro stuff. Like, why am I even worried about it?
Right. When the Odin was first being shipped out in January, I had the same idea because I'm like, oh, but the Steam Deck is coming. And I just don't know where this chip shortage is going to land at. And I would hate to get an Odin, which is about half the price of a Steam Deck. But a Steam Deck will do much more. And I just got kind of nervous. I couldn't do it. And that's the reason why we ended up getting these Amber Nicks, which we could order and get that day, essentially. So
it's a nice stop gap. And those are nice screens. And I've been very happy with mine. But I just... Oh, I want a Steam Deck is what I really want. That's what I want.
I really want a Steam Deck. But that one is pretty freaking amazing. It's cheap. It's for what you get. I think it's like
$299
for the pro version.
Yeah, under $300 for all of it.
Yeah, so, under $300.
Yeah. And it looks nice. It looks like it fits great. Has a really smart sort of ergonomic look to it. I would say similar to a Switch, but not quite that. And
it's got a cool name.
Yeah, and Odin. Odin's cool. When they make a new one, they'll call it the Thor or maybe the Loki, and the Loki will say 20 hours of battery, but only give you one.
Loki will be chaos and crazy. I love it.
I'm saying you'll never know what the hell's going on. You'll never know. You put in a ROM, it'll say you're about to play Mario Kart, and it'll be porn or something because it's Loki.
Because I'm Loki.
Anyway, I'm just waiting for Steam to, send me an email and say, hey, you're up. Because I haven't had that yet.
Yeah. So you've already kind of put in your request or what
I did that.
It's not really a pre-order.
I did it back on day one. It's just they had the servers were all over the place. Took forever to get in. Once they finally did, it said quarter 2 or 1 or something of this year. Right. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. But then they delayed it. And so the first sets, the first ones didn't go out until end of February or whatever it was. And I think the current run is still just the second wave. So I think I'm third wave. I'm probably fall. I have no idea. All I know is they took 5 of my dollars, which has probably earned 4% interest by now. And I just
they're making a killing off your $5. So the Steam Deck is a really interesting retro machine because that's the reason why I'm having trouble pulling the trigger on the Steam Deck is because I just don't see myself doing much regular gaming on it, but I do see myself doing some retro gaming on it.
Oh, not me. I'd see myself doing every freaking thing on it. I'll do everything on it for real. Like I'll watch TV on that thing. I will play all my Steam games.
I'm not your mom. You have to sell me.
Listen, mom. Here's what you should do, mother. No, for real. Like when I was playing, was I playing the other day? Rogue Legacy 2. Fantastic release. It's 1.0 now, out of early access. Amazing. They've done an amazing, incredible job. It's better than the first one. It's amazing. As far as I'm concerned, Hall of Fame roguelike game. I really want to play that in bed. I can get the Switch version when it happens. That hasn't happened yet, I don't think. But I don't want that. I already have the progression, the cloud saves, and the Steam version. How about a device that I can then take on the road and have all that stuff with me? That's what I want.
It makes sense. Absolutely. Steam Deck is the way to go, especially if you're a little more... Oh, man, I've just gotten so hung up on retro since we started this show, and
Brian doesn't play regular video games now. He doesn't even touch
it. Yeah, I don't even... I can't play anything after 2008 now.
You've had that thing happen where a Switch was flipped, and you've not been able to go back. I've been able to go back. Oh, yeah, Shipbreaker came out today. Oh,
wow.
1.0 Shipbreaker. Right. Hard space Shipbreaker. I already tore apart 3 ships, and I haven't had time to play more, but I will after this show. So I'm always down for more of whatever the world's got for me. This seems like a combination of the best of two worlds. You'd be able to play whatever the hell you want and a bunch of retro shit and be able to play the retro stuff as well as any PC would. Yeah. So no limitations, no restrictions. You're good.
No, you can play those N64s on there, man. How awesome is that?
Yeah. And the GameCubes and the PS2s and the whatnots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those ROMs are too big, though. I hate all that stuff. Gotten bigger and bigger.
It's okay.
I heard you soft modded your GameCube. Did this happen? How'd it go?
I did. So I got the oh my god, which one is it? The Tom Clancy.
Oh,
so I used the
Splinter Cell. Yeah,
Splinter Cell.
Yep.
So there's on the GameCube, there's a soft mod. You don't have to hard mod your GameCube to be able to play different games. I don't want to be too broad here. Anyway. What I did was I soft modded mine with that Splinter Cell. I put it in there. There's a save game exploit, and you load that up from the memory card, and then it allows you to boot from a little small SD card reader that I put under the bottom of my GameCube. I plugged it into one of the little ports.
Yeah.
It was the whole setup was like, I think I paid like $10-$15 by the time I ordered the game off of eBay, got it really cheap. And I ordered the little parts and stuff. And now I can load up all of those ISO games onto my GameCube and play it. It's still a process, though, because you either have to leave your machine on because it boots into what's called Swiss.
Yeah.
And
what do they call it, Swiss? What's that about? What's that? Why do they call it
that? I forget what it's called Swiss for. Swiss cheese? I don't know.
All right.
That's a good question.
Okay.
But I didn't get that deep. So then I just put my SD card in there. I wrote them from my computer, put it in there.
Yeah.
And then I booted stuff up.
Yeah.
The only problem, like I said, is that you lose the soft mod every time you turn the machine off and you have to load back up again. You have to load the game exploit, blah, blah, blah.
That's the whole thing with a soft mod, though. Hard mod or hardware mod means you're, permanent. But if you do a soft mod, you got to do it every time.
So I ordered a chip. That is supposed to allow me, and I'm going to do this next month sometime, ordered a chip, and I'm going to hard mod it, and so I won't have to go that route every time. What it actually does is allows me to insert my own burnt disc.
Yeah.
And I ordered a Swiss disc, from Handheld Legends, by the way. I'm starting to get impressed by these guys. Go ahead.
What gave me the name again? Who is it?
Handheld Legends.
Handheld Legends. Those are for those people at home who hear us mention a thing and then not again. We're saying it three times. Right. Handheld Legends.
I'm going to say it many times because I've been ordering stuff from these guys, and there's a couple of mods I want to do this next month, and I'm going to be ordering some more supplies. So you're definitely going to hear that name a few more times.
Excellent.
Positive or negative, you're going to hear it.
Okay.
But yeah, so once I saw that chip on there, then I'll just be able to load my own burnt games or the Swiss, and then I can boot from that. I don't have to put it in Splinter Cell at all. I can just put that somewhere.
Yeah, you don't ever need to touch Splinter Cell again. And I love Sam Fisher, and I love Michael Ironside, and I love everything to do with that series, and I wish they would do a new one, but I don't want to play that GameCube one over and over and over.
Right. And now I made it actually sound a little simpler than it actually is, because there was an extra step. I didn't mention that I do have the thing that made it a lot easier. I had to first soft mod my Wii so I could load Homebrew up so that I could write to a memory card so that I could stick that into my GameCube.
Oh my
Lord. It gets complicated, but it's not too bad.
That sounds like a huge pain in the ass.
It's actually not. It's to get your mind around the concept is hard. To get the steps like you need is hard. Once you actually see the, like a list, if I just wrote you a list of the things I did, it's super easy.
Okay.
Super easy.
And then next is what? You got to solder that damn chip and then you're in Fat City. You're good.
Yeah, then I'm in Fat City. I don't have to do it anymore. I can be done with it. But what I really love to do is replace the optical drive in this GameCube. That would be the ultimate. Then I don't have to worry about the laser dying on me, because that is a possibility. Yeah. I could do this mod, and then my laser quit on me, and then I wouldn't be able to load the anything up, because I wouldn't be able to load the game exploit. I wouldn't be able to load up the Swiss disk.
Oh, good point. Yeah. And those lasers have a tendency to do that. They poop out.
So, they will. Yeah. And they get out of alignment and everything else. And so it could happen. So the long-term solution is there. But then, Scott, you know what I did? You know what I really done after all of that?
What'd you do after all of that?
I should have just stuck with modding my Wii, because it plays all the GameCube games.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's basically a GameCube, like the same chip is in it.
It has four ports on it for my controllers.
Same GPU, everything. Yeah, the whole point of that device was you could put GameCube games in it. It played them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first release, you could do that. And I'm just like, why am I doing all this extra work on the GameCube when I could just literally just do this on the Wii? But
Still can't believe how long they got away with that, though. How they went from one console gen to the other and basically didn't change anything about CPU, GPU capabilities, any of that stuff. None of it changed.
Right.
It was just like, hey, we got all this hardware. It's also super cheap now to manufacture. So we're going to make this new device. And the one big kicker will be it's got these Wiimotes that sort of work. Boom. There's Nintendo's new console.
Yeah.
Weird.
Boom. Weird. It worked. It worked so good for them.
It did, but it annoyed me.
And then they tried to do that with the Wii U, and it didn't work so good.
Well, the Wii U at least had better hardware in it. Like, they upped the CPU.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they were getting all the grief for not having HD, right? That was the problem, but that generation.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. Actually, I'm a little surprised they got away with it still to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like putting out a maximum of 480p freaking content on in a 1080p generation.
It's pretty stupid.
Nintendo. Yeah. Come on, dude.
Nintendo, come on. Oh, by the way, one more thing before I finish my little what I did this week.
Yeah.
Update Sega Saturn for the Mr. FPGA hardware emulation device, which I have. There was a early access release of the Sega Saturn for Mr.
Do you trust those? You trust that stuff? You're fine with how early it is? Not ready for prime time?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just goofing around. I mean, I just wanted to see if it worked. And sure enough, it loads up. There was some hoops I had to jump through. But you know me, I like jumping through hoops.
You do.
If there's a hoop,
Brian will jump through that damn hoop. If you put a hoop in front of him.
Oh, I want to play games. I want to jump through the hoop.
He's a hoop jumper.
Scott, every week I talk about this. The first day that I start to play the retro game for the week that we're going to discuss is always a process. Because that's what it is about being a retro gamer. You got to go through the steps. It's like, oh, where am I going to emulate this at? And how am I going to do it? And oh, it doesn't look good here. And how am I going to control it? I don't know. Where's my
cables? How much of that game do you actually play is the funny part. Like,
I played it a lot. Well, see, like I said, I usually stream 1, 2, 3. I usually stream 3 to 4 nights at 2 hours a piece of the game that we play. So the first night is usually like at least 30 minutes to an hour worth of me trying to get everything to freaking work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest of it's like, you know, maybe 6 to 7 hours worth of gaming. So, you know, most of it, more than, you know, 3/4 of it is me playing the game.
Sure, but wouldn't you agree that, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing for you, because it's just, it's, to me, this is so Brian Dunaway, like 100% something you would be.
Love it.
You spend more time with the tweaking of it and making it function and making it function right and all of that than you'll ever spend playing. I mean, even if you spent the whole 2 hours, you're never going to play more than that. You're never going to play the 8 hour, 10 hour full length of the game. You're going to do it enough to say, yep, all my setup worked. That was rad. Now I got to find a way to hook up my mister to my fridge, and then the fridge will tell me when the garage door is open. And, you know, that's you. That's you, man.
Do you know why, Scott?
Why?
Because I really wish I could go back in time and been one of either an individual game developer or a small group, because now games are, you know, except for the indie scene, which I love as well, is just such a big production, right? And like with Punch Out, it was such a small team of people. And I wish I could go back in time and make those simpler games, because I would enjoy that. Because basically this, I couldn't do that in a modern context without either being only a small part of the project or having developed a project for years.
Sure.
Like most indie games, that's how it is. Yeah. Small team, 1-2 people, but it takes years to get it done. Whereas back then it was like, yeah, I can make E.T. Give me 6 weeks.
Different time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even some of the stuff in the '90s, I'm always surprised I'll see like a game from EA or something, and it'll credit one dude, and you're like, wait a minute, one guy made this. It's like, well, no, there was also music, and that was a different guy. No, you don't understand. That team for that same like hockey game, let's say today, is like 400 people deep.
You
didn't just have a guy and a couple of music dudes and a sound guy. Like, man, what a weird time.
Right. I've always wanted to be indie, and man, it'd been great to be indie but big. And that's kind of what that stuff was, you know. It's like you
big just, indie, yeah, big indie,
big indie,
that's big indie, like. Big indie. Bad dates. All right, let's get into the game of the week, you guys. We got a big one, and here it is.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed. The game in question this week, as we have hinted to vehemently since we started talking today, is a little game called Punch Out. And you may have heard of it before. Punch Out, Super Punch Out, maybe is the one you play. Did you play Super Punch Out in the arcade? Did you play Punch Out on the NES? Did you play it with Mike Tyson? Did you play it not with him? We got all kinds of questions for you and all kinds of answers as well regarding this venerable fighting series from Nintendo. Something they're not really known for, by the way. They don't really, I mean, other than Smash Brothers, not really the fighting game company.
Right. And this was early on Nintendo, too. So it was, 1984 when we saw our Punch Out in the arcade.
Yep.
Nintendo was coming off their hotness of Donkey Kong, and they decided to do a sports-type game.
Mm-hmm.
Odd.
Yeah, in the arcade, they did it on two screens. They had a screen up top and a screen on the bottom. And
Because Nintendo had a monitor problem, right? They ordered too many thanks to Donkey Kong's popularity. They thought that would last forever.
Yeah.
Instead, they had warehouses full.
Yeah, of Donkey Kong monitors. But you know what? I say hats off to him for a good use of the thing. Build a cabinet that constitutes it. You put your score and your characters up top, and then put your gameplay down bottom, and hot damn, you got a video game. And if you were in an arcade back then, you probably heard, let's see, this would have been the era that sounded a bit like this. Hold on a second. This would have been, would have been this era.
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. And you would have heard, in those mid-80s,
body blow.
This sound.
Body blow.
A lot.
Body blow.
A lot of this.
Body blow.
A lot of body blows.
Body blow.
In fact, here's how many you might have heard. Check this out. I'm going to blow your mind here. You ready? Here we go. Watch that.
Body blow.
There's a lot of body blows. See?
Yeah. And if you looked at this game and said, because I know when I looked at this game, when I went to the arcade, when I first saw the original Punch Out, my mind was blown. I can still remember how I felt, because it looked so, it looked at two things. It looked future and retro at the same time. It looked like, I'm like, holy Moses, they're using a second monitor. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't have, you got to remember, we didn't have TV. People didn't have a TV in every freaking room back in 84.
No,
so,
no, you're lucky if you had one good one. And if your dad was lame like mine, you had like a crappy black and white that never got upgraded. So, yeah.
Right. So the idea of having a monitor just to display, all it was doing was displaying the statistics and things and the character, you know, and all the stats. And it's like, oh, my God. That is like a high dollar, man. I feel like I was in the future mm-hmm. when I saw Punch-Out.
Oh yeah, Punch-Out seemed like a next generation kind of arcade jump, right. In a lot of ways.
It felt like
really,
it was in Vegas.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you're right or we're right, but it also wasn't. I mean, it was in a lot of ways rudimentary. It's just really smart use of like perspective and how do we make you. Yeah. Be the first person kind of, you know, character that has to fight this thing, and we'll make him kind of translucent with this green mesh over his body. And for the longest time, and I remember in 84, I'd have been like 13, and I remember thinking, is this Glass Joe? Because you can see through him. And no, Glass Joe's the guy you fight.
No. Yeah, that's the guy with the really big chin that's going, hit me already.
Hit me in the jaw. Yeah.
This thing was doing a couple of things. There was two things going on here that was really important to the design of Punch-Out, and that was Nintendo wanted two things. They wanted to get rid of some of those freaking monitors. So they said, okay, we want two monitors. And then they also wanted to make use of a new technology they were using, which was a zooming effect. So these sprites aren't three-dimensional. They're being zoomed in and out. So when the boxer comes on, when your opponent enters the screen, and he looks like he's walking towards you, this is all new stuff, man.
Yeah, nobody was doing that.
Zooming in a sprite.
Mm-hmm. Nobody was doing that stuff yet. Think of it as Super NES would get the Mode 7. It's a it's an extension of that. Like it's that pseudo, hey, we're in a 3D space and this is the best we can do kind of deal. And they stylized it just enough so it was cartoony as hell and just made for
Miyamoto did the initial designs for this too. I was reading about some interviews. I was shocked. Donkey Kong, you know Miyamoto. Yeah. Everybody knows Miyamoto, right?
This is the greatest minds in the history of video games, for sure.
He's great. So he drew the original characters, but then they took it to an animation studio, and they punched him up. They punched it up.
Yeah.
Ha, get it?
Yeah, punched it up. Punched I get it. I see what you did there. they hadn't really gotten down any kind of like translucency or transparency, which is why you were a wireframe made, not even a wireframe in a vector sense. You were made of a bunch of pixels that were enough to make you some way semi-translucent. The difference between this and 2, or rather I should say Super, that was in the arcade version of Super Punch-Out, is very minimal. Right. They're not that different, those two games. I played
it's
a bunch
mostly
of both.
It's mostly the updated roster, which is, I think, to me, is one of the things that really makes Punch-Out stand out, is the unique characters, themed characters. Love that part.
One thing I wanted to say about the game, if you wanted to compare it in modern terms, so somebody at home is like, well, what's this game like now? Like, what game would make me feel like this game? And I'm going to make an argument that the games are kind of Souls-likes. they are very much about memorizing what a boxer does.
Yeah.
And then going, oh, okay, he swings twice. The guy before him only swung once where I got a window to punch. He swings twice, and I need to make sure I duck to the left after I've juked to the right after the first punch, or that second punch is going to decimate me. I avoid that. Then I can go in and get him in the face, and then now I've got a combo going. That's the game.
Yeah, and I almost was going to disagree with you, and then you started explaining it, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is kind of the battle part is kind of Souls-like.
It's Souls-likey. It's like fighting those bosses. You got to learn the patterns. You got to understand what you can do and what your timing is, what their timing is. It is very split timing. You don't want lag in this scenario.
No.
I wouldn't call it like quick time event, but you know, there's a piece of that to it, a little quality of that or whatever.
Especially when they when they step back away from you, they'll kind of step back for just there's moments when the animation. Like you said, also Souls like it has to complete the animation.
Yeah, you've got to have it follow through. You can't interrupt those animations. Dice Demand on Set says it's just old school pattern recognition. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like Souls likes are a modern version of that. You've got to recognize the patterns, follow them, maximize on them, and win. Right. And that was hard back then, and therefore it ate your quarters pretty regularly.
You had a four-way joystick, right?
Yeah.
And two buttons.
You had
right,
two you buttons, low, and low and a high, right? Or no, I can't remember now. Right no. and left?
I think it was left and right. Anyway, you had a four-way, two buttons, and then a third button that when you filled up your KO meter, you could knock somebody out, like Glass Joe.
Yeah, he's a dick, Glass Joe is. I'm looking here real quick.
Glass Joe just wants to quit, man. Glass Joe is just like all about, can I retire now? That's what was really good about the NES version of this. The one of the things that I think is kind of a little better is the in-betweens. You get to a little bit of story, what the boxes are thinking.
Oh, yeah. You go out jogging and training, and, you know, they do all kinds of stuff that you don't do in the arcade. I just found an image of the actual thing. So you've got to the head, left blow, and body. You got right blow to head and body.
There you go.
You got hook and uppercut, which was like a weird standalone button that was almost like a big, like,
That was a knockout hook uppercut button. That was like an emergency stop, right?
Yep. And then you got your guard up, your guard down, your dodge right, your dodge left. That's what you did with the joystick. Yeah. Pretty rudimentary, but also kind of cool.
No, there was no ducking on this one. I don't think it was until Super Punch Out that you got the duck.
Ducking came with the better controllers with more buttons. Is basically what happened. I don't remember in the arcade version of Super, and that's the other thing. This is a weird thing because Super Punch Out in the arcade is nothing like Super Punch Out at home, except they're both boxing games and are based on the same property, but they're not the same game.
They're nothing.
Yeah.
No. Which they're nothing alike. I thought the same thing too because I had a lot of experience with Super Punch Out. That was the one that was in my arcade when I was playing heavy. We saw, because it wasn't a long time between Punch-Out, the original, and then Super Punch-Out. The original came in. It wasn't there for long. They replaced it with some stuff. Then Super Punch-Out showed up. I liked it probably better. I never played the NES version at all. I think, you know, I was aware of it. I saw people play it. I never even played the SNES version either. I didn't know
any. SNES version is my main game, dude. I love that.
Little Mac. Okay, so the wireframe guy is Little Mac.
Yeah.
According to... we went back and said, yeah, that guy's Little Mac, even though he was really Wired Boxer guy.
Yeah.
Player one. I thought it was so weird when I started playing and I'm like, okay, so they went with a really tiny character and why they didn't call him Mini Mac. I don't know.
How come he's not in Smash Brothers? That seems like a crime somehow.
I think he isn't. No, is he? I thought he was in Smash Brothers.
Is he? Is Little Mac in Smash Brothers? Can someone tell me? I don't think he is.
I think he is. It seemed like I read something just briefly that was about that. It's either maybe I remembered it wrong. I thought Robin Gibbons was on 21 Jump Street.
That's true. You did. Little Mac, Smash, Wiki. Oh, he is. He is in it. Okay. Well, then shows what I know. I don't follow Smash enough, I guess. I didn't know he ever made it in there. Okay. So there's that. Now, go back to the NES version. This is the one that most people know because... not only did it come home and you could buy it, but it featured one Michael Tyson. You may remember him from Ear Biting McGee. He's had his moments.
Isn't it weird? So Mike Tyson, heavyweight champion of the world, also went through a really serious divorce, even went to jail for a while. But only thing most people remember is biting the ear off Evander Holyfield, right?
Oh yeah, because it was an extreme event, man. You don't just you don't just get past that. That's something that sticks with you, I think.
Right. Plenty of people go to jail. How many people you know that's bitten the ear off somebody?
Yeah, like a lot of people go to jail. Some of your uncles and friends probably went to jail. Yeah.
And they sewed that back on. Don't worry, he got his ear back on.
Yeah, he got his ear back. But now Mike Tyson sells
boxers get cauliflower ear anyway. So what? They're pointless.
He sells weed gummies though that are shaped like Holyfield's ear, which is great.
Get out of here! They do.
That's true. That is 100% true.
Oh, I did not.
They're
know
called.
That.
Hold on.
I knew he had a weed farm of sorts.
Yeah, Tyson Weed Ears. Let me find the name of these
Weed Ears.
That we were gonna. Fantastic. I was gonna take one in Vegas, and they weren't selling them there because things can't be shaped like body parts if they're
really
have THC in them. Yeah, it's some law over there. Oh, here it is. Mike Tyson selling weed gummies in the shape of a bitten ear. They are called Mike Bites.
Mike Bites. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was going to be like Holy Holyfield or something.
He can't use his name, I don't think, because I don't think Holyfield gets any of this money, as far as I know.
Oh, yeah. I bet he doesn't. I bet that's okay, because Mike has made a lot of bad decisions. And I'm here to say right now, before we get into bad mouthing Mike Tyson, and he deserves it for some of the things he did, I'm going to say that the current Mike Tyson that we have in 2022 is a way better Mike Tyson.
He seems fine.
Learned a whole lot of life lessons.
I don't know. I don't know enough. I don't know him personally, so I just can't say.
Neither.
And I didn't care back then either. It's just like, whatever. It's another celebrity we can all make fun of, I guess. But the reason for his departure on the game, did it have something to do with him biting Holyfield's ear?
No, it did not.
It was
not
to
my understanding
thing.
Of the interviews I saw. It was because he was going through a divorce. And she was making, she was saying, and I'm assuming they found
that's what he went to prison for. He was convicted for rape. So I think that's
He went to prison for being, for rape. But I think that happened after they had already stopped the contract. I think it was literally Mike was getting a really bad, black eye in our TV court system of what was going on with that. So he was just kind of being known as a bad boy at that time. So,
Well, this is a game you all played, though. This is the one you thought you wanted the most. Had Mike Tyson in it. The front of that thing, as Brian showed you with his cartridge, has got like a damn photo of him, which is weird for this series. And it was the only time he'd be there. Super did not have him on the SNES. The Wii revival of the game did not have Mike Tyson. As far as I know, Mike Tyson has never returned to be a part of this at all.
Well, sort of, kind of. So, all right, let's get the full story here. There's a game called Power Punch 2, a.k.a. Mike Tyson's Intergalactic Punch, Power Punch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this was something that was supposed to be kind of it was kind of like a return of Mike Tyson, because NES was in on this. NES was like, yeah, that's fine. Let's do this. And they had a third-party developer doing it and stuff, and so they were like fine with it. And they finally just kind of all backed out of it. But I played the prototype of the Power Punch 2. By the way, Power Punch 1 doesn't exist. Stop looking for it. It was literally, it was just trying to be a sequel to Punch Out. Maybe they were just holding the name, going, you know what it is.
It was set in some alien world, like he'd gotten taken off Earth and had to fight aliens.
Yeah. So Alien Don King recruited Mike Tyson human to fight off Earth. And so, are you playing the video of me playing? No, somebody else playing. This is actually good.
Yeah.
It's I real, did this.
It's super
the training.
It's super dumb, though. Everything about it is
but
dumb.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Is it kind of fun? I mean, come
on. I kind of like it. Was very Punch Out like, except you were fighting aliens. And man, you see in what's going on right now where he's training, that is hard as crap.
Yeah.
Because you're using, there's a left and a right punch, and then you got to go high, mid, or low. And so when those lights flash, you have to hit it like instantly. And I had to have zero lag to be able to hit those. And even then I wasn't coming even close. It was pretty intense.
Yeah. It's an intense game. Oh yeah. Here we go. This is very Punch Out. Look at this. Oh my gosh.
Oh yes. It's totally Punch Out. But instead of a big audience of Mario's, you got you got some alien folks up there. You got the alien. You actually got Don King up there, but you're fighting aliens, and the aliens get more and more ridiculous as you go along. He's fighting the Borg here, I think.
Yeah, something like it.
Look at Don King back there freaking out. Yeah.
So that is like Alien Don King. Like literally, they made it. Okay, and they got here. I'm fighting Lobo or freaking Gene Simmons. I can't tell.
It's Mobius. Yeah,
I would play this. I'd give Lobo this some time. I would.
I enjoy it. Like I said, it was just a prototype. I think I downloaded the ROM off archive.org. You could play it. There's like some places online you can play it too. So, I mean,
let's hear
it's pretty dumb, but if you want to.
It's. Ooh. And where was this going to appear? What platform?
Oh, this was going to be NES.
Weird.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah, very weird. But.
Yeah.
Whatever. The guy was trying to clean up his mess.
And by the way, we have given Mike Tyson the rumor or idea is that the reason why they didn't why they took Mike's name out of it is because they just wanted to sever the relationship. But the game was already waning in interest. This is 1990 by the time they re-released you know, the punch out with not Mike Tyson. So, I mean, there wasn't really.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't ever the. I mean, they wouldn't even have a proper remake or a proper like new game until 1994. And that came out with the SNES. So let's compare a little bit of audio here. Here's Punch Out on the NES. Pretty basic NES fare here. Check it out. All right, so there. Oh, here we go. I'll give you some fighting sounds here. Hold on. Here we go. So NES is as you know, as hell. Super NES.
It's what it is.
But the arcade, you got this.
Body blow. Left. Body blow. Body blow. Knock him out. Left.
You had crowd noises. Yeah, this guy.
Right.
Okay, we need to talk about this guy for a second. So this guy, tell me about him. Why is he, what is his significance?
So up until this point, Nintendo of America was pretty much just a place to store extra monitors and to do some marketing and, you know, to give a little bit of feedback. And so this is the first time they were allowed to really get involved in development of a game. And so the warehouse manager, they found his voice to be pleasing enough to do the body blows. So in between managing all those stupid monitors, he was recording this. That's insane. That they would. That guy
so
is.
So what they do? Go around the office and just say, "Hey, Frank, come here. We need to hear what you sound like." And we're like, "Oh, this is our guy. This is him.
This is it." Yeah, body blow. And I think he was actually punching some of the other people in the office.
You know, so before you empty that pallet, say this in the microphone.
Body blow.
Right. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. That's
and
great.
Then he's like, and now I got to get back to work, guys.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Definitely seems like, what is it, Daryl from The Office? Yeah, definitely seems like that.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Daryl. Oh, that's a good comparison. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I like that guy. He's one of my favorite warehouse managers.
Which is funny because the manager in Mike Tyson's, what is his name? Why am I forgetting his name? They even had a punch out that was based on Doc. It was Doc, wasn't it? Doc.
Oh, Doc. Oh.
Oh, but anyway, he reminds me of another Office alum. Why am I forgetting his name?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I don't know what your problem is. Okay, here are the characters. I'm going to read these. Excuse me. So here's your names.
Character names from this punch out. Is this the arcade or the NES version?
This is the NES. Well, let's see. Characters. I want all of them. Why is it only giving me? Okay. No, that's not what I want. This isn't doing what I want. Here are the ones they think are popular. Aaron Ryan.
Right.
Mr. Sandman, Bald Bull.
Yeah, that's the arcade. Was that Super? That Bald Bull? I
can't remember.
The Canadian guy.
You got Super Macho Man, Little Mac, of course. Soda Popinski.
Yes. Soda Popinski. Because now that makes me think it's the NES version because wasn't it like a Vodginsky or something in the arcade.
Like that. Oh, right. And they didn't want to have a liquor a reference in the home
version. Yeah. Not in the console version.
Yeah. He had Super Macho Man. Oh, I mentioned him. Bear Hugger.
Yeah, he's great.
He's the
Bear
gross.
Hugger. You know what his move is, don't you?
Yeah, I don't even want to tell you. It's horrible. And Dom Flamenco is another one. Now, there's plenty more throughout the history of the series, obviously. Von Kaiser is another one. Kabuki. Yes. Kid Quick. King Hippo was my favorite. I love me some King Hippo.
Kid Quick freaked me out when I first. Wasn't that the one that? No. Which one's the one that gives you the flying kick that I'm like?
Oh, that guy. No, that's. It's a little racist. Where's that name? Oh, yeah. Fling Long Chop.
That's it. That's the one. That was the one that always freaked me out because I'm like, you know, I felt pretty good. I'm starting to get into patterns. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, you can't kick in boxing?
Yeah.
Can't.
He was problematic. There's a moment where flung kicker or whatever his name is. Let's see if I can find this. I threw it away. I sent it to Brian earlier.
But it's a Japanese developed game.
Yeah. If they make it, then maybe it's fine. I don't know. This would be very offensive if you were to take this guy. So for those at home who can't see it, his name's pretty wackadoo. You know, Fling Long Chop. But he's got these big buck teeth, and it's just very stereotypical.
I mean, look at that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of, you know what this is? This sounds like Japanese, people, Japanese developers being a little bit insensitive to Chinese stereotypes.
Chinese, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's what that is. I could be
wrong. I think you might be right. That does make more sense.
Yeah. But it's a real horror show of characters. These guys are all...
What they don't understand is Americans are stupid, and we just think all Asians are the same. So
yeah, that's,
you're really
that's,
just hurting yourself.
Yeah, you guys are, don't worry about us. Worry about me. All right, 94. Let's jump there real quick. The Super NES had a version. This is the one I got hooked on. And I get a little sound from it. Here it is.
Yes!
Oh, that's arcade. Hold on. Here we go. Oh, I had this stupid intro with like... Here's his arm. Here's his foot. Here's his glove. Bing, bing, bing. Oh, and Cabbie J. You got to fight Cabbie J.
Oh, yeah. He's the spiritual successor to Glass Joe.
Yeah, he's Glass Joe of this game. Basically. And he's French, too, just like Glass Joe.
He's a French waiter, just like Glass Joe.
Cabbie now,
J.
What's... listen to this.
Yay. Fight!
A little bit more realistic.
That sounds more like
effects.
Sega, doesn't it?
A little bit. Still, but it's got Nintendo quality to it. It's hard to explain.
It does.
But I would say this about the SNES version of the game. It broke a few new ground, or bits of ground. One of them was the crowd actually animated, so they were all into it.
Yes.
Glass Joe, Mini Mac or whatever we're calling him now. Is that his name?
Little Mac is his real name. Mini Mac is what I want to call him every time. I'm like, come on, it's Mini Mac.
He actually has transparency to him instead of the wireframe mesh thing.
Yes.
So they've actually learned how to do alpha stuff and things like that back then. And I played the hell out of that game. That game's great.
These games are more nuanced than I thought. I thought it was all just about pattern matching, but to learn the patterns is actually, there's a lot of clues going on in the game. Like, I didn't realize that flash photography in the audience could indicate that it'd be time to throw a punch. There's like all these visual cues and audio cues that you're not aware of.
Subtle
ones. I didn't even know about it until they started, until people were telling me about it. I'm like, what?
It's a subtle thing that they did, and I really respect it. I think there's something cool about using background elements and other stuff as a way to tell you when to do things in a game.
Right.
Because you want your game to have good, understandable visual language for a player to get what's happening. And some games are good at that, some are bad.
Yeah.
I think this game was always pretty good at it.
And, you know, we've talked about sports games in the past. We even had a whole episode on sports games with our hockey episode and Hockey 94, Sega Genesis. It's the best one.
It was. It was so good.
And so this was, once again, it was not really – we're not in a sports game necessarily. We're pattern matching. It's so cartoony that, yeah – it's still a sports game, I suppose. But
it's
you don't
an arcade,
have to like sports.
It's an arcade sports game, no question.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like realistic about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't care about it. Let me tell you what I don't want to play. Realistic boxing games. No interest.
So once EA Sports came along, they just gobbled everything up. They said, we're taking the sports, all right?
Yeah.
It's ours. We're doing it. And I'm with you. Once they started introducing real boxers, real stats, that kind of stuff, my interest kind of waned a little bit. I really like the cartooniness of fighting a guy with a theme. I like that there's one character I played in the NES version where he just he runs the same pattern every time.
Yeah.
And once you figure the pattern out, I mean, you just nail him. You just kill him.
Yeah,
just
and playing games like realistic, I don't want to be, you know, smear anybody's desire to play a simulation style boxing game, and there certainly have been those Fight Night games from EA.
Yeah, Fight Night.
Highly regarded. People like them, or at least some of them. Those are fine. I'm just not interested. I want big cartoony, goofy ball head, you know, guys named King Hippo. That's who I want to fight.
Right. I want to play Bean. I want to Butterbean or whatever his stupid name. Yeah, I want to play stupid. He's actually a real character. I want to play the dumb ones. I want to play Afro Thunder.
Yeah.
That's my speed.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I'm into that.
What about Ring King? Did you ever play any Ring King?
I never
back
played
in the
any
arcade
Ring King. No. Was Ring King good? I don't remember if it was good or if people
okay.
liked it.
So let me tell you about Ring King. Some people are very sensitive about it.
Okay.
So some people say the Ring King is by far the better boxing game of the era.
Okay.
And so it's Data East Joint, hit the arcade, 1985. It allows you to move around the ring. So that's something you really need to do in the punch out. You pretty much kind of stood stationary. You can left and right, but that's about it. So yeah, this one allowed you to walk around the screen, but it was still kind of locked in. So you'd like, there would be like the character, everybody has an afro, by the way, there'd be a character and you would kind of like rotate around him. And, yeah. So it did give you a lot of options. You got to bob and weave a little bit. It's still just a two button since it's NES, the arcade, I think it's just still two buttons. I mean, you use the action button to punch, you move one direction to kind of duck and move out of the way. There's not a lot of control, but let me tell you something. I hope they show it here in a second. When you actually go into your, first of all, when you get knocked down, there's a lot of hugging. This game is weird. There's a lot of hugging, and when you fall down, instead of trying to get up, you just kind of hump the floor. Yeah. And then when you go to your, when you, oh my God, see, look at that hit. You say hit, he literally knocked him into the audience.
Yep.
This thing is such a cartoon.
Yeah.
But then if you go to your corners, the cut man, I don't know what he's doing, or your coach or whatever he is, but you got to find it because I don't know what he's doing, but he's not helping.
What's he? What is he doing in your estimation? Do you think
I don't know, Data East. I'll tell you. Well, I don't want to say what looks like he's doing. Let's just say he looks like he's doing something he shouldn't be doing.
Okay. Now I want to find
weird,
it.
It's a weird game, but it's you know maybe it's your jam.
Yeah, maybe
it's your jam. Maybe you like the
maybe King, rotating around a character is what you want to be doing. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. But it was interesting. It had some different takes than the Punch-Out series.
It reminds me a little bit of, just looking at it here, reminds me of like one of those old wrestling games. Like this is like a WWF game.
Yeah. And see, that's what I love about Punch-Out, because it reminds me of what I really like, which are wrestling games.
Yeah,
because wrestlers are all about theater.
Good wrestling games.
Right, I mean. Good wrestling. Yeah. They're all about themes and theater. That's what I like.
Because there are some bad wrestling games, especially recently. Like there should be a good modern wrestling game, and I hear that 2K22 one is pretty good. New one, I hear that's all right, coming to Game Pass, I think.
Interesting.
I gotta watch for that, but yeah, like they need to get back to just the goofball, ridiculous, over the top crap that those games used to be. Instead of trying to simulate I don't need to simulate anything. I want them to be ridiculous. Go nuts. It's a video game. Go crazy.
Please, if you are a diehard, hardcore sports gamer and you're listening and going, oh, you guys don't understand, please send us an email at playretroshow@gmail.com and tell us what we're missing.
Yeah.
What's the things that we're missing? Because you know what? I kind of like NASCAR games, and I'm not really a big NASCAR fan, but for some reason, I don't mind all the stats and everything. But I just can't get into the boxing games, and maybe you guys got it.
No, same. I feel the same way about the baseball right now. I've been playing the show 22, and it's got its hold on me hard. And I usually don't care at all about like simulation baseball, but for some reason that one's really good.
Well, then
same thing goes for other stuff. Like what's the other one I was playing that was very simmy? I forgot what it is. It's another sports game. Oh, golf. I play a lot of
golf.
2K21's golf game, which is a very serious golf game, and I really like it. Oh, and I don't like regular golf at all. So
I loved all the 2K games.
Yeah, they make good games. 2K still makes good games, turns out.
Yeah.
They should make a competing football game now that the NFL license isn't exclusive to EA anymore. At least I don't think it is. Yeah. They should do that.
But what you should do, Scott, if you don't like a real hyper-realistic games,
you should play
Atari Boxing for the Atari 2600.
Oh, dude, that game is it's bad.
Oh my God, if you've never seen Atari Boxing, is it even boxing? So it's a top-down look, and there's two blobs on screen, a white and a black, and it's more like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, where you gotta line up your fist to the other player's face. And the player is constantly like on this magnet, just like being attracted to you. And this guy's killing it. I suck apparently, because this guy's actually doing pretty good. Whoever's playing right now is like a world champion Atari boxer, which pretty low bar.
Yeah.
Great Activision game.
Yep. This is old school, dude. This is back when the company who made your game kept their logo on the screen the whole effing time.
Yeah.
Those were the days. This is a bad video game. I played a bunch of that game back in the day. It's not good. It's bad.
Let me tell you, it's about maybe 5 minutes of fun. That's how most Atari 2600 games are for me nowadays. I will occasionally pop in and look. Doesn't take almost any learning. You just You just hop in. As a matter of fact, nothing, there's no cut scenes between rounds or anything. You just, it's just a point tally. If you don't remember what the Atari 2600 mostly did, it was usually, you know, you against somebody else, and it, there was a point tally at the top, and you just made points, and whoever got to the top of the points, there you were.
That I remember I had a friend named Gary, I think was his name. He had this game on his Atari, and he used to say, so I'm showing the screen again, and he used to say the players here, the boxers, that that thing sticking out of the head is not a nose, but that was like their little wiener.
That's a penis. Yeah. That's the wiener. Yeah. That's the ween.
That's the ween. That's what he used to say. It's like Gary would always go point to the screen. Well, go, look, you guys, you can see the wiener.
It kind of looks like it. That nose is really kind of pointless, but maybe not. Maybe if I took the nose away, maybe it would disturb me. But yeah, it's not a game. There's also a Sega game in the arcades in the 70s that has actually been abandoned, and I couldn't find a ROM anywhere. It was a boxing game. Side view, and you used boxing gloves that you would hold onto, like these boxing gloves, and you would actually literally punch into the machine to control the boxers.
Do you remember the Holyfield Real Deal Boxing on the Genesis? Do you remember that?
I do remember it because I played it this past week, and it's actually one of the better ones, in my opinion. But I like the Genesis.
Yeah, I'm a Genesis guy too, so it's easy to.
Yeah. So Punch Out is kind of is arcadey. Yeah. This one's a lot slower. It takes a really long time to play a match of this. Look, there's two of the same guy. And you'll notice that there's an ab screen and a face screen. And I thought what was gonna happen when I started playing this is that as I caused damage, I thought it was gonna be like, you know, like Doom or something, you know, where the face slowly starts, you know, sagging or whatever in those little boxes where it's showing your face. No, it just slowly turns gray. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's boring.
No, I remember but, that.
That might be a good way to describe this game. There's a lot of techniques. You get a lot of cool stuff. And since it's on the Sega Genesis, you have three buttons by default.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's okay. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Check out this Intellivision game. So they had a game called Intellivision Boxing.
And, now that looks like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
It totally does. Yeah. It is, you know, it's a thing of its era. I don't want to poo-poo it too much. Like, here's the sound of it. It's an odd. The thing about Intellivision, their crowd noise sound, it was just white noise. That was all they did.
Well, all I can say is this. This destroys the Atari version. I mean,
it's way
destroys
better.
It.
Yeah, I will give them that. Like, as a competitive product, this is the superior game, I'm thinking. The only downside to this game was that stupid controller. I don't know how you played anything with that thing.
Yeah.
It's horrible. That little disc with the numbers on it. Ugh. Yeah, we got to do a whole story about it.
I'm dialing in my boxing move. I'm dialing it in.
We're doing that one day. We're doing full. We're going to go full freaking Intellivision. Go down that road.
I have the Odyssey in my closet that I purchased a long, long time ago that I never even hooked up.
You
because
should hook,
I didn't have
hook it up.
A TV with the VHF.
But you do now.
Plug-in.
You do now.
No, I don't actually.
Oh,
even the CRTs not have. I have coaxial,
yeah.
So I guess maybe there's probably an adapter I probably can get.
Well,
to do that.
Listen to this, Brian. This is some Punch Out in a more modern sense. Check this out. Right. France. This is French. This is this bit.
Okay. Like, what is this?
It's so weird. It's Punch Out for the Wii. So they made a new Wii game, brand new Punch Out game, called it Punch Out. That was it. It wasn't like a sequel or Punch Out Wii or any of that. It was just straight up Punch Out. And
2009.
It was quite good. It was quite good.
No Mike Tyson.
Yeah. My only complaint, no, Mike Tyson had nothing to do with this. My only complaint was that it, was I trying to say? I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, that it came out kind of late in the life cycle of the Wii, and everybody had kind of been sick of that and moved on. We were all playing our you know, 360s and PS3s and, you know, just wasn't doing it for us anymore. And that low resolution stuff just kind of put me off it. So I never gave it the time of day. But the one or two times I got to play it, it's a great little game. It's a great one of these. Yeah. It's good.
We need it. We need a big, loud, stupid boxing game. I, like I said, Punch Out.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my favorites, but then followed very closely has got to be, you know, what, 4D boxing?
I mean, maybe. No, you wrote in here the thing about a game I'd never even heard of was Champions Forever Boxing.
And yes, for the PC Engine Turbo Graphics. Probably reason why I never heard of it.
Yeah, that's probably why. I had no idea this existed. But man, they have the dumbest song in this.
I disagree.
I'm going to play
it. Best song.
I'm going to play a little bit of it, okay? This is from Champions Forever. In fact, hold on, Chad. I'll put the video up.
PC Engine Turbo Graphics 16.
Yeah, this is, what, 94-ish? Something like that?
Maybe
95. Here it comes. I'll pull it up here. A little bit more of a move around the ring and box kind of deal, you know, aiming for a more realistic experience, I think. And it looks good, by the way. The game actually looks good. But anyway, here's this horrible intro thing at the top of it. Check it out.
Hawk, how hard can you hit?
Yeah. There's more.
Yeah.
How hard can you hit?
Yeah!
1, 2, 3, 4.
They were like full-on rap joint men. Isn't that great? Listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner.
This is my favorite thing, where he goes in this corner and then doesn't say the name.
In this corner.
they didn't have the tech for that.
Box.
And here's the boxing. Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It looks fine. But
I would argue that is so. It kind of like I was trying to figure out which one was my favorite. I couldn't figure out Punch Out for the nostalgia, which was basically just the Gillette cavalcade of sports boxing from the whenever's way, way old.
The '50s.
You ever heard?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so. It's just a remake of that, and then that one, and then Ready to Rumble. Nothing, Jack. Look, if you're going to have a sports, if you're going to have like a wrestling or a boxing game, I need some music to come out pumped up on. That's part of this boxing experience when Punch Out nailed it right out of the gate with the audience. And, you know, that was brilliant. The announcer, all that stuff. I think that's brilliant.
Well,
but you got to have the jam to
here. Ready for Rumble had this music.
Let's get it.
Oh, this is just the play. Hold on. Let's play the actual music. Here we go. This is Ready for Rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Or Ready to Rumble. Oh, wait. Ooh, ooh. And then the girls and kids sing again.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble. Let's get ready to rumble. That's horrible, dude. It's bad.
I let that demo screen just run while I was doing other things, man. I love that. You're talking about.
Now, that game ended up having 3 games.
Yeah. Oh, Ready to Rumble is fantastic. I love it. It took what Punch-Out was and took it to an 11 and made it so much fun.
Yeah. Let's see if I have some gameplay here I can show. Yeah, I love that game. In fact, I remember when I got my Dreamcast, it was one of the ones I made sure to pick up.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, this was like the hot, you know, one of the hot games to get. This was like one of the reasons you wanted to get a Dreamcast is you could play this next generation freaking fighting game. But it also featured, you know, big cartoony goofballs, which I was super into compared to, you know, I didn't want realism. And so we went this way. There's actually an N64 version of this game.
PlayStation version, a Game Boy, and a Game Boy Color, which I didn't get a chance to look at, but I'm totally interested to find
PS2
out
got it. Like. GameCube may have had one. I can't remember.
Actually, the GameCube had very few boxing games. I think it only had maybe one or two, not a huge number of boxing games. Apparently, people agree with you, Scott. The C-Stick is not for sticking and punching.
Nope, doesn't work. Here's some audio from Punch or from Ready to Rumble, and this was clearly like one, a vehicle to make sure that dude who says, let's get ready. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get ready to rumble.
That guy. He's all up in this game. He's like represented in it. There he is right there, Chad. He's this, you know, full on polygonal version of the guy. He gets to use his thing, which apparently has copyrighted or trademarks. So every time someone uses it, they have to pay him. So this is a total thing for him. But here's some of that. You can hear some of the player voices as well. This is pretty great.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Check this out. We're about to get characters, and they're the worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, from Zagreb, Croatia, wearing the blue trunks with black trim and weighing in at 220 pounds, the invincible Forrest the Bear Nakama. I have enhanced superior training.
From New York City, New York,
right, wearing the red trunks with yellow trim. And weighing in at 120 pounds, the Funkadelic Boogie Bro Afro Thunder.
One of my favorite characters to play is Afro
Thunder.
Dance,
it's time to dance. Dance, sucker.
So they were trying to making him Chris Rock or something.
Chris Rock, yeah.
Yeah. And that guy... I used to be kind of a graphics powerhouse. I look at it now.
Yeah.
It ain't so.
Oh, great. It was the hotness when it came out, and I loved it. They had all the mechanics. They had rumble instead of building up the KO meter. You would just be able to just go to town. The only thing you could do when that other guy got the rumble was just run, run.
Yeah.
Because he was going to knock your butt out.
I don't think. Boxing games. So this brings up a bigger question about today. Does anyone care about them now? I don't think they do.
I was looking for some modern boxing games, and there's nothing outside of, you know,
UFC and now, right? Like MMA.
Yeah, it's mostly UFC stuff. Boxing. Yeah. So Mike Tyson really did usher in just a huge new interest to boxing during that time, almost for more than a decade probably or so.
Yeah.
Boxing
he's the Tiger Woods of boxing, I think. It's like suddenly everybody wants to be into it because there's some breakout star, you know. It's hard to avoid it.
And he was bringing out the old guys, and he was teaching me stuff about boxing that I didn't know. And I did watch a couple of Tyson fights from this period just to kind of get an idea of what was going on. And you know, he was just winning left and right and just killing people, not literally, putting people down within first round, first couple of seconds. And so Nintendo caught Mike Tyson before he was coming up, and then they let him go before he hit bottom. So they made a deal with him for, like, I think he got like $1.2 million or something, he said recently in an interview.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson did. Yeah. And, you know, they made so much money off of him, but this is before he got, they made that deal before he, had got the belt or whatever it is, the title of heavyweight champion of the world. So
now what I'm doing right
now
is
belts in boxing.
Yeah, you do. Now I'm showing.
Okay.
I'm showing some UFC here just for comparison.
McGregor.
This is UFC 4, I believe, from EA.
Right.
You know, pretty realistic, relatively new. You know, modern video game. Oh, he's such a goofball. Look at this. Look at this.
Yeah. Well.
This guy.
Any of them kick my ass, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they could, but he's weird. Anyway, it is, I think this is it now. This is what people, if you're doing a fighting video game that isn't Mortal Kombat style side scrolling, you know, Street Fighter, this is what you're playing. Yeah, you're doing this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree.
And I kind of wish wrestling was the big thing again, because I think, I don't even like regular TV wrestling. Like pro wrestling, I don't care about from a live perspective, but it's perfect for video game fodder. Because dumb things, jump off the top of the deal, smash on somebody with a chair, throw this guy out of the ring, and collapse a bunch of tables. That's funny. That's good.
It's funny because it's what you would do if you were a wrestler.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it great.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right. What else we want to say?
So before. So Mike Tyson was released in Japan. Yeah. I thought this was a pretty interesting story. I didn't know anything about this. They gave out 10,000 golden carts of Punch-Out without the Mike Tyson branding, but it was complete, just like you would see later on with just the stats of Mike
Tyson.
Why
gold?
Stuff.
What was the deal there? Just like you're the winner, first place gold.
It was part of a. It was for the NES. It was part of a golf tournament thing. You could get it if you won the golf tournament in your area. You would get the gold disc, and they gave a bunch of them away for other promotions. And so I was interested. I was like, whoa, that's 10,000. That's kind of a lot. I mean, it's not like super limited run. So I hit eBay. People are selling them for like $3,000-$6,000, and I'm like, that seems a bit high. And so I did a completed listings look, and I only seen one cart sell in the last 6 months, and it sold for about $300. So I don't think there's much collectability there, but I did think it was interesting they gave out those Willy Wonka style golden carts, essentially. Mike TV.
Yeah. How many? I feel like Nintendo did this every 5 minutes, made a gold cart version of a game.
Yeah, that did happen a good bit.
Did you ever own, like, back then, I think I had the Zelda Ocarina of Time gold cart. I think I had that.
Right. Yeah. See, I didn't have an NES back in the day. The first Nintendo, I didn't buy a Nintendo until I bought a GameCube. I think that was the first one I actually went and purchased.
Damn,
I had
really?
Received a Crazy. Few. I had received a few, an NES, an SNES, and an N64 hand-me-downs from other people who were like, this is stupid, I'm bored.
Yeah. I don't know why that was. That was just a thing they were into, and I only ever bought the one. Got Ocarina of Time for my N64. Thought it was cool because it was gold. That's as far as I ever took it. That was it.
It seems like it would be worth more until you find out they made 10,000 more just like it.
Yeah, I don't think they're worth much now. Maybe they are. I haven't looked on eBay in a while.
Once again, anytime you go to eBay, I mean, people get so excited. It's like, oh, I bet I can sell this for $1 million. It's like, no, you can't. It's really not.
No. You think
it's always important to look for completed listings and that kind of stuff. Don't get too
shit.
Excited. Look
I take it back. This thing's going for $500 a cartridge. Jeez.
Now, is that completed listing or is that people pipe dreaming?
This guy's trying to sell it unboxed for $900.
$900.
This one is...
Tell me what you had again. You had the gold. Going to do a little retro purchasing right here on
Legend of Zelda. Oh, you know what? These are for, this is for Lincoln Time.
So it's original, right? Legend of Zelda gold original.
Yeah. I can't tell now. They've got weird listings in here.
Yeah. I'm
okay.
Seeing
this is
like
the Super NES Legend of Zelda first print TM Nintendo NES gold. So this is an NES game. So this is the original Legend of Zelda that is going for $4.99 in the gold cartridge. So I take it back about the N64 cartridge.
Right.
I have no idea on that. But still, it's a lot. $4.99. Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah. You could just emulate it.
Yeah, or you could just emulate it. Well, I mean, obviously the point of it is to have the gold cartridge, right?
Yes. The point is to put it on your shelf and to look at it and go pretty. But we've talked about that in the past. Hey, if you're a collector and you like to collect things and put things in boxes, good for you. That's great. That's not me. I like to game and I like to hold them in my hands. You'll notice that this Mike Tyson Punch-Out cart that I have, it's all beat up and it's got a big old crack in it. And you'll notice it's not sitting in some kind of case or anything, and I stuck it in and pulled it out and stuck it in and pulled it out of my Retron 5 when I was playing. I disassembled the cart and cleaned the contacts, and I even blew on it. Nothing precious about this to me other than the joy it gives me when I play it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's hold on a second here. I want to see.
I want to keep it in good condition, but nothing precious.
No, you don't have to be precious about it. Play things. Have fun with things first. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Even in these cases, most of these for $400 or $500 is just, they're in great shape, but they are playable and they've been played. So.
Yeah. The ones that kill me are the ones that are, they're sealed, never been open. I'm like, why would I want that?
Yeah.
Why would I want to be responsible for preserving that? That makes me nervous.
Unless you can get it for
that
like
in a warehouse somewhere locked up,
get it for $100, sell it for $1,000.
I don't even want to. That would just make me feel dirty.
You're not into it, eh?
I've got a weird thing. I know it's me. I would make me feel dirty if I was like, because somebody out there, it's their dream to own that. And yeah. I'm like, I don't want to make money off that.
You don't want to be, you don't want to ruin someone else's dream.
I don't want to make money off that.
Chat room, very nicely.
Why I'm still poor.
Chat room found the Zelda Ocarina of Time Gold Collector's Edition, $400. So those are going pretty good too. And that's sold for $400. Wow.
There you go. There you go. See, now I'm not necessarily a complete in box kind of guy. I don't really care about the box. I do like the sleeve and the manual.
Yeah.
I like the manual just because that's fun for me. That's part of the experience.
You're a manual guy. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Why are these called five screw cartridges? What does that mean?
Oh, because they had the five screw cart. So you gotta know. So some of them are only three and some are five. You have to know what type of screw they are.
But why does it matter? What's the thing?
I'm sure they're just different versioning. I'm sure it's just, this is more rare. There was only a limited run of the five hole. That's like I said, it gets into the whole collector's thing. It's like, oh, it's rare. And it's like, do I really care if it's five or three? I don't know.
Odd the Quiet says, none of this matters. You're right.
None of it matters. As long as you're having fun playing the game. That's what we're about here on Play Retro Show. You're probably not going to, if you're ever here to go, oh, I need to know the latest information on, the hottest products out there for the best price and, best price maybe, to make a turnover. I'm not into that.
No, Scott, I'm not in that business. Day. I'm not in that world. I don't know nothing about it. Five screws? Nothing what the hell is that? It. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it if that's what you want to invest your money into.
No, sure. Go for it. You know what? It's better than NFTs or something. Go for it.
Yeah,
do it.
Do it.
You got money. You don't want to play the game. You just want to invest and then trade up. Do it. No problem.
But I'll die poor and happy with my stupid memories of video games.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
I'm going to die of a body blow.
Body blow.
All right. Let's get let's get to our guess our games this week.
Guess it's a fun my
little,
game.
It's a little fun segment we do where we try to guess each other's game based on some brief audio. And here's your thing for it.
Destroy it.
Mech chicken. All right. We're going to get right
chicken.
To it.
Brian, I'm made of magnets.
Oh. My hint is March 21st, 2001. I've given you a year.
Oh, wow, that's late stuff. That's we're pretty much in PlayStation era.
Well,
stuff,
we're 20 years back, which is my rule on retro. So.
Yeah, that's the same with me. Yeah,
yeah, maybe a little more because we do some GameCube stuff on here. But anyway, March 21st, 2001. Here is my sound. You see if you can figure it out. Here you. The other hint I'll give you is this is a port from a different console. If that helps.
A port from a different console.
Yep, this was ported from a different console than the one I'm about to play sound from. Okay?
Okay.
I actually played it today, and it's still an amazing game. I think I may keep playing it. Here you go. A lot of menu stuff, so give it a sec here. Oh, that sound gives it away for me.
Sounds like birds or something.
It's a little birdie. Little birdie. Okay, this next bit, so you can tell what this is.
It's kind of got like a Spot vibe to it. Is this a Virgin game?
No, definitely not a Spot or Virgin game. The next hint I'll give you is it was made by Sonic Team.
Okay.
Sonic Team. Remember how they used to do that for their logos?
Yeah. But it was you saying this game audio is from a different console than the one I'm supposed to be guessing?
No, you can still, if you guess it on any console, it's fine. But I can tell you this started.
It was from the Sonic Team. It was multiple systems from 1991.
Chat room says Choplifter. Incorrect. Not correct, chat room. Chat room. Chopper.
Are the characters bouncing around like up and down?
Nope. Okay. They're running, I'll say that. Okay, next hint.
Yeah.
Next hint. This is good. That sound right there is finishing a level. Next hint is it's kind of a puzzle game.
Wow. Wow.
Do you give up?
Wow. I give up. I don't know this game at all.
Sega, Sonic Team, made it originally for a little console called the Dreamcast. But when the Dreamcast went away, they were like, well, we should put this cool game on other things. Then he's still not there? Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, how about this? Play a commercial. Here's a commercial for the game. All right, here you go.
All right.
Does that help you?
It's a Dreamcast game.
They said the name. They said the name in the song.
But they said it. They say it in Japanese.
Nope. It's here. I'll do it again. Just a little bit at the beginning. There, they just said it.
Oh, choo-choo rocket. Okay. Yeah, I never played this. I know what it is, but choo-choo rocket.
Dude,
okay.
Choo-choo rocket is one of the greatest little puzzle games ever made. It deserves to be
choo-choo
seen.
Rocket.
Oh, it's so good. So the reason that I'm all this clandestine conversation about where it's on, what it's on and stuff, this is a GBA port of the game, and that's the one where I played the most. I had it on the... Dreamcast, definitely had it there.
Yeah.
But I played the most on that Game Boy Advance game. I just played the hell out of it on there.
Never played it even once.
That's a great game. It's an amazing game. It's basically just a puzzle game. And you're trying to, you know, using limited numbers of arrows that you can place down on the board, you place them down first, and then you hope that once you hit go, all these little whatever they are, bugs or cats or whatever they are going to get to their end zones, and they run off and do that. And if they miss, well, then you reset and start over and try to figure it out. It's just a very cool, nifty thing. It's very good.
I like it. I've never played it, so it's good.
Yeah.
I like it when you play myself. I didn't sound like anything I ever heard in my life. I apparently haven't even been around that one anywhere. That's wild.
Yeah. It's insane. But I love it. All right, Brian.
See, this is the reason why when you say, oh, you just jump back and forth between modern video games, old games. There's so many old games I've never played. And there's just so many.
Oh, they'll pile up. Yeah, there's so many. You're right.
Yeah, so many.
You are correct about that. All right, hey, yours is 1995. Any other hints?
And the year is 1995. I'll give you a hint if you need one.
All right, let's play. It's Daytona. Daytona Racing.
You think so?
Yeah. He just said Daytona.
No, I know he didn't.
Hold on. Let me hear that again. Wait.
Are you ready for love?
What is this? Hold on.
But you're in the right genre.
Yeah! It's a new record!
Maybe not. Wait a minute.
Great job. I got everything on camera, so you'll watch it later, huh? You're the greatest.
It's definitely Sega Arcade.
Yeah, now I'm starting to think maybe I grabbed the wrong audio clip. I don't think so. Wait a minute.
All right, let me play the very first part again. That sounds like Daytona USA. Hold on. That's what that sounds like.
It kind of does sound like that, but no, I can definitely say that it's not that.
Okay, it's a racing game.
It is a racing game.
Is it Sega makes it?
No, actually, this was for the PlayStation.
Oh, Ridge Racer?
Ridge Racer.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, Ridge Racer. Why does it have the Daytona guy?
I don't think he said Daytona.
He doesn't. He says something else, but it's that. Here, listen to this. Okay, so there's that, right? I'm going to find this. Hold on. Daytona song. Okay, here's what this sounds like. Oh, my gosh. Turn that off. All right, here we go. Listen to this. All right, do you hear that?
I can hear it now. Yeah.
Hear this. Wait, why isn't it playing? Oh, I turned it on. What's the difference? It's the same.
Hold a second. Don't ignore that link. I'm about to post a link in the. Okay, so there's that second one that I posted in the Discord is where I grabbed that from.
All right, let's see. I'm gonna hit one. Oh my gosh, this is the same song. They have the song.
Maybe they do.
They absolutely do. Okay, so this right, is Ridge Racer.
Somebody lied to me. It starts with the PlayStation logo screen.
This is definitely Ridge Racer, but I didn't know they borrowed this song. So hold on. This is freaking me out, literally freaking me out. All right, so let me play this one more time. Okay. All right, and that's getting to the part. Okay, that's from your game.
All right,
It is here. It's the song.
It sounds like the same song.
What?
You're having the moment I had earlier when I was, and I posted it somewhere. Oh, yeah, under random shit, under little known facts and stories in our notes. I was listening to a Styx song. I'm Okay song from 1978 on Spotify this morning.
Oh yeah, I should play this.
And yeah,
and keep explaining. And it, yeah, tell people what it is.
And
it,
yeah, and so when I was listening to it, I was listening to the song, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, weird. I just heard Mario say Yahoo, and I'm like, oh, do I have like another tab open or something? Do I have a tab open that is playing Mario or something?
Yeah.
And no, it was just him yelling it. So I stitched together. Mario saying Yahoo, and then Styx saying Yahoo, and then Mario again, just so you can kind of get an idea of how I heard it.
All right, well, let me play that. I want to see how people hear this. Here you go. Yahoo! Oh my gosh!
That second Yahoo is Styx. Yeah. That is not Mario at all.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm really kind of beside myself on this Daytona thing.
Yeah.
Because that Daytona song, all I hear in my head when I think of Daytona, the racing game, is that theme song.
And yeah, when it makes sense.
I hear that in Ridge Racer, which I also played, but I don't remember that being in there. That's really freaking weird. Weird.
It is weird.
All right. I just
buy that because it's like right away. Daytona, I got it. Nailed it. Nope.
That made my day. Question. I freaking loved it. All right, check this out.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Time for emails sent to us at playretroshow@gmail.com. We're going to do two of them today. One comes from Jason, a.k.a. Free Rangers in the chat room. Is he in there tonight?
Free Rangers!
I don't see him in there. He might be in there. He says, hello, Scott and Brian. Love the Play Retro Show. It is the highlight of my podcast listening week. Is the Metal Gear Solid series considered retro now? The PS1 version came out in 1998. I think that constitutes as retro now, and the Metal Gear Solid games would be a fun topic to cover. Before I finish his email, yes. Totally counts.
Yes.
100%.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, and the NES games, too. They didn't start on the PlayStation. Right. You know, the NES games were there before that. So,
just remember, this is Scott and Brian's. It's all subjective. It's Scott and Brian's definition of retro. We said that this range is retro to us.
Yeah.
It definitely falls into it, and it'll float retro.
Sometimes if it makes sense to float. Yeah. We're not going to be weird about it, you know? Like,
no. I mean, basically, it has to have a couple of things that make it seem like it's at least two or three generations behind in a significant way.
Yeah. But this is definitely one of those. It's square there in the 90s, late 90s, but still there. And before it were the NES Metal Gear Solids, and there's such a huge story around where Metal Gear went after that and where it is today. Like, that's an amazing show topic. We're absolutely doing that. He goes on to say, also, if you ever consider doing a topic on retro hardware, I'd love to hear an episode about the Virtual Boy, Dreamcast, other failed consoles, and how they tried to bring something different to the market but ultimately couldn't make it work. Keep on playing retro, Jason. 100% on that as well. I want to do a whole thing on the Atari Jaguar. I want to do a whole thing on the 5200 and 7800.
Oh, yes.
I want to do stuff on this new Intellivision that looks like it's never going to happen, but there's like supposed to be a follow-up coming that's been in development for years and kickstarted and all that. you know, Coleco had some real slip-ups. Like, you know, the Dreamcast is maybe the biggest, most stream or most mainline one that we can think of, but all of this stuff deserves our attention. It's why we started a show like this, because we know we can go on forever. There's a million of these.
Right. There's so much stuff.
Yeah.
Like, matter of fact, I almost feel guilty sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, we've got so much stuff to cover. I'm like, we're only doing this once a week. We're never going to get to the end.
Yeah, I know. And that's okay. The Dreamcast, actually, I feel a little sad when I talk about it because I loved that console so much.
It is such a, yeah, I love it so much. And it really did mark the end of Sega.
As we knew them, so, yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing great now. They got an amazing publishing arm now. They're killing it. There's nothing wrong with Sega in 2022. They're doing great. But that hardware generation, that was it for them. They were out.
Yeah. And we can blame Sony for it.
Oh, totally blame Sony. 100%. PS2, it's your fault, you dick.
It's your problem.
Your giant highest selling console of all time, dick, which was also
ruined everything. And also has like some of the most titles of any console ever. I would like to get into that one day too. The number of games, the game library size of each of the the consoles, because it varies a lot from the N64, which is like 300, to like, you know, 6,000-7,000 for the PlayStation 2.
It's crazy. It's insane. I mean, we don't even get into the PC because you'll never end talking about that.
Yeah, you'll never end.
Actually, now it's hard to do it all. Like, if you were to look back on the Switch, just like 20 years from now, the Switch is retro. There are too many indie games in that store. Like, it's just, we're in a different era. It's going to have to be looked at differently in the future.
Right.
And maybe we'll still be around to do it.
I remember back in 2022.
Brian, get my pills. We have a show. Here's one from Ryan.
I already took the pills.
Ryan says, Scott lamenting how weird the N64 controller reminded me that there or was reminded me that there was formerly when I was formerly really into console fighting games, in particular Tekken, I purchased two Namco branded arcade sticks. They were amazing quality with metal bodies and actual arcade click buttons. Yes. Unfortunately, they were convex. It depends on how you feel about it, whatever.
Yeah.
We used them for every fighting game we could and for Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I'm sure if you ever saw these sticks, but they were amazing. Thanks for the great show that brings back so many great memories, Ryan. I don't remember that. The Namco branded arcade sticks, I don't remember that. I'm sure they were nice.
I'm trying to find some reference to it now. Oh, those are nice if that's the ones he's talking about.
Because Tekken was making a real push back then. And it wouldn't surprise me. Oh, let's see here. Are they Tekken branded though? But there's a ton in here that are branded. Confusing. Oh, Namco branded. Maybe this is... There's a Japanese one that looks pretty good.
Ooh, that is nice. Oh, God, I want this.
Yeah, look at this, Chad.
This is smooth.
Pretty smooth, pretty slick.
Oh, an unboxing a new original Namco PlayStation arcade stick from 1996. I don't know if you see this one or not.
No, Sim, nice put that in the... Share that in the hoo-ha there.
All right, share that.
In the dealy hole, yeah. I want to see what you got.
Put that in the dealy hole and smoke it.
Rub that in there. I still just see Ridge Racer.
Oh, give me the link.
Ridge Racer. That's all I see is Ridge Racer. That's it.
I'm working on it.
That's all I see.
Give me the link.
Oh, all right.
There it is.
Okay, hold on. Oh yeah, here it is. Reddit.
That may not be the one, but that was the one I was looking at.
Reddit to the rescue. Is this the one? This is probably it.
That's the N64. Oh, okay. So good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This. Well, either way, I think this is the design.
It looks like the convex buttons too. That's what I was trying to see.
I didn't know they branded their own arcade sticks, fighting sticks. Concave. That's cool. I mean, they were really pushing Tekken. Tekken was a big deal on PlayStation and PlayStation 2. So,
yeah,
I'm not that surprised. I have a love hate relationship with Tekken. It could be a whole show unto itself, but I thought Tekken 1 was amazing, and I thought Tekken Tag Team Tournament, I believe, was amazing. And now when I try to play Tekken, I don't like Tekken. I don't know why. I don't know what changed. Something, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's not. Is that...
That's the only Namco branded controller I'll ever use.
Yeah, this is the one here, chat. Sorry, I have to show this. This is too good. Look at that dumb thing. Oh, I can't get it to copy out.
Oh no,
that's all right. Anyway, or I'll just show it on screen here. Hold on, chat. You guys can see it. There it is. Look at that thing.
There's the link.
How many games are in that?
Oh, when is there Amazon any of my money?
Is there a Pac-Man thing coming out yet? When's that?
Oh, it should be like this week. Is it like the 27th or something? Like this Friday?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be here. I think it is this week, and it's on Game Pass as well. So
yeah.
I have no excuse not to get into there. I'm still annoyed. There's no Miss Pac-Man of any kind in there. None of it.
Nuts.
Yeah, it's stupid. She's not even referenced. Dude, you've got the best Pac-Man game ever made, and you're not including it in your freaking Volume 2.
Stupid.
What are you doing?
Stupid. That's why they, every time they release one of these, people get mad. But you know what? It's working for them, because what they do is they keep releasing them and going, yeah, let's do it about 80%. And then we have a bunch of people yell, and then we'll release another one.
Uh-huh. Well, you're not wrong. I think there is.
Right.
There's some hoochie-coochie going on there, for sure.
Hoochie-coochie there. Yeah. It's not right.
It's not right at all. All right. Boy, this Daytona thing's still on my mind. Thanks, Ryan, and thanks, Jason, for your emails. You guys are awesome. Please send emails to playretroshow@gmail.com. We'd love reading them on the show and be happy to next time. All right. A lot of you will remember the year was 1996. Five? Six?
No, I think that's wrong. It was, 1990. Yeah.
Japan was 95.
I think that was the confusion. I think they really do, because we usually do U.S. release dates, but I think
I'm gonna look it up because I want to be sure.
Release date was December 3rd, 1994.
Oh, North America 95. Okay, so 95, December of 94 in Japan, September of the following year here in the U.S. Europe got it in September later that month, and then November for Australia. Anyway, PlayStation, PS1, a console that in many people's eyes have not aged that well. However,
right.
I think this is a great topic, because we are going to, and we'll probably do this with other consoles as well, but we're going to look at what that first party release day, not first party, release day titles look like, third and first. So what, we had things like Battle Arena Toshinden, ESPN Extreme Games, NBA Jam Tournament Edition, Rayman, Ridge Racer, whole bunch of this stuff, Street Fighter, the movie.
Shmups.
Yeah, shmups. A bunch of games that I bought five of, I think. Let's see. I bought Toshinden, ESPN, Rayman, and Ridge Racer. So how many is that? That's four.
Wow. That's nice.
So I bought four.
That's a good haul.
I went a little hard that day.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna do like less of a let's pick one of these games apart. We're gonna look at this whole lineup and see how it went, how'd it go. Like, where are we now?
I did. Which one was the big seller? Which one had the legs to keep on kicking on down the line? What kind of decisions did the PlayStation, Sony make in that first run? Because it's interesting, because, Nintendo day one releases. What was that? Who was really competing with them on the NES day one? But Sony, here they are, the new guy on the block, and they got to pick some games.
Yep. And this is what they
picked. Squeeze into this market.
Yeah. And there were only 10 total games.
Yeah.
On launch day, which is a little low compared to what you might expect today. The N64, I think, only had like two first party and maybe three third party. I mean, it was not a lot.
Yeah.
That's more what they were used to.
N64 did as well as it did.
Well, it's because quality over quantity, I think.
Right.
Nintendo Magic, when that exists, you're going to sell consoles. That's right. And you could even argue, like, yes, the Wii U is considered a failure, but amazing games came out on the Wii U. Most of which are being ported to the Switch, so it doesn't matter anyway. But anyway, we'll talk about all of those and why Battle Arena Toshinden is absolute garbage now. It is not a good fighting game.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, it's bad, Brian. It's bad. It's bad.
I was thinking it was pretty okay.
Pretty terrible is what you should say. That's how you spell that.
Maybe I'm wrong.
They're not good.
Yeah, I think
but we're going to look at them all.
Correctly.
We're going to talk about those.
No, there wasn't this on the – didn't they also have a – version of this might have only released in Japan. Didn't they also release this on the Sega Saturn?
No, Toshinden was a Sony
game. Yeah, they did. Yeah. But they did. They released one followed by 96 ports for the Sega Saturn, Game Boy, and MS-DOS. And I would argue that the Sega Saturn, which I actually have a copy of, not that bad.
Was it Battle Arena Toshinden 2 or 1? Because 1, I think, was pure Sony that year.
When it was when it was originally released, it was pure Sony, but it was ported
In
1996.
Oh, I could see that then, yeah. They shouldn't have, because it's bad. It's a bad game. and we'll talk about why. And also, what of these games are worth playing today? Like, could you go back and play some of these? Maybe. I don't know. I think Ridge Racer holds up kind of. I think Street Fighter the movie is better than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
There's a few on here. I really liked ESPN Extreme Games. I played that a ton. I'm sure it's bad, though. If I went and looked at it now, I'd be like, ugh. Anyway, so we're going to do that, and that'll be next week. Rayman and all those PS1 release games. Yep, and Brian loves Rayman because he doesn't have arms or legs. He just has floating feet and hands. You love
like,
that.
With no limbs, it makes no sense.
Yeah, you love that. Admit it, though. Admit that you love it and that you want to have sex with it. Okay.
It's maybe. Weird.
It's really weird. You're not wrong. It is very weird. All right. I want to thank everybody out there who helps support the show at our Patreon, patreon.com/playretro. Please continue to do so. And if you've got friends that love this sort of stuff and get hooked on the show, maybe encourage them to do the same. It doesn't cost much, and it gives you a whole lot of benefits. The main one being it keeps it on the air. So big, big thanks to everybody. If you're looking for a always commercial-free version of the show and bonus content every episode that you're not going to get anywhere else, check it out. Plus a bunch of free stuff during the week here and there. You never pay for any of that. All you pay for is the show itself. And it's cheap. So check it out. Patreon.com/playretro. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. PlayRetro on Twitter. PlayRetroShow on Twitter, rather. And frogpants.com/playretro for all the details you might need that I didn't mention here. Hey, Brian. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Absolutely. Twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. I play these games throughout the week. If you really enjoy torturing yourself, tune in on Thursday nights when I do all the tech troubleshooting. That's the most fun.
Oh, yeah. The fun just rolls off the tongue that way.
Yeah.
That
day.
I'm over at frogpants.tv, or if you prefer, twitch.tv/frogpants. That's where you can follow all the podcasts that we do live, as well as occasional gameplay as well. I've been playing an escape room simulator with my daughter, and that's been really fun. Freaking Shipbreaker just came out today, and I might be streaming more of that now.
You got to. What choice do you have?
Yeah, I got that. And I like to play retro games as well, so check it out is what I'm trying
to
say.
Catch it out, baby.
Catch it out when you can. All right? That was twice. I said the same thing. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Have a fantastic rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.
Body blow.
Body blow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Get smart or get knocked stupid.
Body blow.
Get knocked stupid. We're trying to be like Sega.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.